Yo, good morning.
The mic works now.
Well, that works, we know. We don't even have to test it.
Always tend to give you a bad mic.
They set me up. I'm excited.
You good? You can hear me? Yeah.
surrender. Here is where I lay it down. Every lie and every doubt. This is my surrender. This is my surrender. Here is where I lay it down. Every lie and every doubt. This is my surrender. And I will make room for you to do whatever you want. Do whatever you want to, Jesus. I will make room for you. Do whatever you want to. Do whatever you want to. Here is where I lay it down. Every burden, every crown. This is my surrender. This is my surrender. Here is where I lay it down. Every lie and every doubt. This is my surrender. Oh, and I will make room for you. Up the ground of all my tradition, break down the walls of all my religion. Your way is better. Your way is better. Shake up the ground of all my tradition, break down the walls of all my religion. Your way is better. Your way is better. Up the ground of all my religion, tear down the walls of all my tradition. Your way is better. Your way is better. Oh, shake up the ground of all my tradition, break down the walls of all my religion. Yahweh, you're better. Yahweh, you're better. And I will make you. For you to do whatever you want to, do whatever you want to, and I will make you for you. This is my surrender. Loves like a hurricane. I am a tree.
God is portion. He is our prize. Drawn to redemption by the grace in His eyes. If grace is an ocean, we're all sinking. So heaven meets earth like a sloppy wet kiss. My heart turns violently inside in my chest. I don't have time to maintain these regrets when I think about the way He loves us. Oh, how He loves us. Oh, how He loves us.
Well, good morning. Welcome to Hope on the Beach Church. Good to see you this morning. I'm Steve, Director of Ministries, and it's great to welcome you to a no judgment zone. It means you can worship however you feel best, and we want you to know it's okay to not be okay, and it's okay to just come close to the Lord and let Him love on you today. We know we have guests, being the weekend that it is. It is Memorial Day, and we take time out to thank the Lord for those who have gone before us, and certainly those who have made our freedom what it is so that we're able to be right here and do this morning. So we're grateful for a chance to be here and to share it with you. We count you as a gift, and we're so glad that you've come to be with us. I'd like to call your attention in the bulletin. There's a little blue card. It's a Connect card. Opportunity for you on the front side to share some information with us so we know you're here. We'd love to know names, maybe where you're visiting from, or if you're new to the area. Whatever you feel free sharing with us, we'd love to have that info on the front of the card, and we will collect these at the end of the service. Today, Pastor Jason is going to finish our series on the sent apostle. That is, a sent disciple. I'm sorry. We are all called to be sent disciples. And we have been in a series about that, and today we finish with the thought that disciples are resilient missionaries. We don't quit. And we're going to look at the life of Paul. Many of you are familiar with Paul's life. You know how much hardship he faced, how many times he came close to death, how many times folks tried to take his life, and yet Paul always managed to get up and stay resilient to his mission. He continued to carry the gospel of Christ. And we want to receive that inspiration from him today and be resilient in our faith walk with the Lord. So it's good to have you here with us. We're so glad you've come. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you for the opportunity to gather in this place, and we ask that your will be done. We want to hear from you today. We want to come close to you through our time in worship. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you stand with us? Let's worship together.
Some time with God in this wonderful cathedral He created for us. Heavenly Father, thank you for this moment, the breath in our lungs, and the mercy renewed this morning. We are so grateful that you are faithful and you're a way maker, you're a healer. Your Holy Spirit guides us. We pray. We are desperate for you, Holy Father. I've got nothing new. How could I express all my gratitude? I can sing these songs as I often do. Every song must hear, and you never do. So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again. 'Cause all that I have is a for a heart to be hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, I've got one response, I've got just one move. With my arms stretched wide, you get shy on me, lift up your song, 'cause you've got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. Come on, my soul, don't you get shy on me, lift up your song, 'cause you've got a lion inside. All that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much, and nothing else fit for a king, except for a heart singing.
That song, like, always seems to hit. It's a heart of just gratitude. I mean, there's nothing we can do to save us, to save ourselves or save anyone. It's your work. And you deserve all the glory. You're the king. It's by your power that conquered all. Sin, Satan, death. You rose. So, Father, we praise you. We thank you. We sing hallelujah. Christ is risen. He's risen indeed. Amen. Amen. Give God glory. Give him praise. You may be seated. So glad you're here today. My name is Jason. Share the honor and privilege to be the senior pastor here at Hope on the Beach Church. And really, man, we have been a heart full of gratitude as we celebrated Easter. Again, that reminder what God has done for us, that we are incapable of doing our own. And we were in the book of Acts, and we noticed that, like, man, that changed people. There was no power, no institution. There was no church. There was this ordinary, common people that had been with Jesus, who now then were equipped with the Holy Spirit, and they went out. And with no money, resources, and authority, or pedigree, or great education, or training, all this, man, this little group changed the world. They turned the empire, the greatest military strength and power, upside down. They were sent disciples. And they were people that were so touched by the gospel that they propelled their life on mission. And when we described that being on mission life, and we said, you know, there's like four characteristics that we really saw that really define that disciple in our context. And so in this series, we've been taking each one of those and looking at those, and it's this vibrant follower of Jesus. Like, man, they had a faith, they had a relationship with Jesus. Jesus said, I no longer call you servants, but friends, because you know the Father's will. Like, what breaks your heart breaks my heart. And then we said, they're 2 a.m. friends. I mean, they are loving each other. I mean, they're growing up in that love of Christ and sharing that love with one another in the body, building each other up, encouraging. Then this courageous life giver. I mean, in the places where God puts them, kind of like a lifeguard, they're watching over and looking at places. And we looked at a Good Samaritan, and they're going beyond, they go across the road to care for others, to have compassion and love and serve courageously to those who are far from God or broken, wounded, getting in their mess, and being a part of the restoration work of Jesus and any part of the serving. And today we're going to talk about resilient missionary. So if you got your notes, you want to open up, I'm going to add a little point of the introduction. I want to tell you what resilient missionary is not. So it's not Bible thumping. It's not beating somebody up and jamming the Bible down their throats. When I was in high school, I had a classmate named Skip, and somehow, like, God just put Skip on my heart. And we were in choir and some other things together, and I started to, like, really build a relationship with him and hanging out. And we got into this whole faith conversation. And I was in a Christian school, by the way, high school. And we got into a faith conversation because I knew Skip was a little bit on the edge of stuff. I didn't know how much, but I knew. And we got like, hey, when we talked about Jesus and stuff, he says, look, I just don't believe it. I was like, you don't believe in Jesus at all? He goes, no. And I said, what about heaven and hell? He goes, no, they don't exist. I just deny it. I think this is all stuff that's just, it's not true what they're teaching us. And my response is like, what are you smoking? And he said, everything. And he was. And I'm telling you that my heart was heavy because my best friend in the neighborhood and my baseball buddy that I went through Little League for overdosed in 8th grade. And when I knew that, man, my heart was just breaking for Skip. And I'm like, man, you got to know Jesus. And so I kept pursuing Skip and trying to convince him and argue with him over and over and over again. And I was so frustrated. I went to my teacher as my mentor, and I said, you know, what am I doing wrong, you know? And then he said this. He gave me some of these scriptures in Matthew 7:6. He says, do not give dogs what is holy. Do not throw your pearls before swine. Like, you don't put the gospel to people that are rejecting. You don't just keep throwing out this treasure to them. And the, you know, disciples, when they went out, Jesus sent them out. Jesus said this in Matthew 10:14. If anyone will not receive your, listen to your words, shake off the dust in your feet. And when you leave that house or town. And I have to say, my heart sunk. I was like, that sucks. Like, I can't do this. And it was humbling. See, being a resilient missionary is not something I'm going to, like, try to pump you up today, stir you up, and say, man,
you just got to, you're going to go be a Bible thumper. You're going to argue people, and you're going to force them or constantly confront someone with the gospel and attempt to just wear them down until they say yes. That's not what this is about. That's not how, you know, we don't drag adults into the faith. Nobody comes into faith because someone got in their face and just argued and forced them into the kingdom. Now, I will say you should drag your kids to church so they do have an educated choice when they become an adult, whether they really want to know, follow. They can't make a choice unless they're in church. That's part of our parental responsibility. But when it comes to our other adults and stuff, that's not how we work. We don't work with that natural authority as a parent to a child. So it begs the question then, what is a resilient missionary? A resilient missionary then is A, clings to faith during suffering. Clings to faith during suffering. And I will give a hint. I mean, this theme of this is really just looking at the life of the Apostle Paul, who I think was the great example of a resilient missionary. And I pulled out some very key characteristics, I think, that would be helpful for us. Paul writes in Philippians, I know how to be brought low. I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hungry, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. I mean, Apostle Paul just really expresses he's had some different seasons of life. I mean, his life was like full, and we would say in America world, in our American Christianity, oh, you have God's favor. You're being blessed because you have all these riches, and all this wealth, and all these things. And he also has a life that doesn't look very blessed, where he's been poor, he's been hungry, he's been needing. And he's been facing plenty, and he's been facing abundance and facing need all at the same time. But here's what we know about the Apostle Paul. None of his conditions and seasons of his life influenced how he shared the gospel. He consistently always shared the gospel. There is this kind of myth that my life has to be good and has to have this look like favor, America prosperity favor, in order for it to be in a perfect place, a perfect order, in order I to be a successful witness to somebody else. It's not true. If you're taking notes, number one, the gospel's not dependent on your season of life. It's not dependent on you. While our life can, to some extent, validate the gospel, its work in us, the authority and the power of the gospel doesn't come from us. The gospel is not meaningful and powerful because my life is all good and great and to the right. I mean, because just a little observation, even people that are far from God, we would say maybe evil, who deny him, can have a life that's up to the right and looking good, a good life. I would probably actually say that your witness is even greater and stronger when your life is a mess and it's not going well. In fact, Jesus' greatest moment of his witness, of his testimony, who he was, when he was naked, suffering on a cross for others. Simply put, the gospel is not dependent on you. That's what Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's through Christ. It's God working through us no matter what the circumstances are. God is at work in us. And we need to be relying on that, dependent on that, leaning on that. I mean, that's probably one of the reasons why we have a barrier to sharing, because we haven't learned to say, God, I really just need you to bring me through this so I can do this, because I can't do this on my own. I mean, Apostle Paul writes, look in 1 Corinthians 3:6, I didn't put it, but he says, I planted, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. Man, it's not all on you. It's all on God. God makes it grow. God does the changing of hearts. As I tell myself, look, I'm just not that good. That's my reminder. And so God is the one who validates. God, the God who makes the gospel relative and meaningful and powerful all by its own. And it gives life. It gives faith. It rescues people from the hands of Satan and puts it in the hands of God. And what's awesome is when you do maybe reach somebody and somebody does make that decision profession, it's often because there's been so many touches along the way of so many different people and voices that have put that seed in there that God has been watering, and you just get to be there while it bears fruit. I have a friend, and he's grown up now, but he was single. He lived in the Keys. He was an ex-Navy SEAL. He grew up in the Christian faith, but yet denied it. And so he would tell me. He just didn't believe it. He wasn't like a real rejection. It's just, I'd have trouble believing it. And the reason he had trouble believing it, because he was a Navy SEAL who put his life in a line with other guys who put their life in a line and guys who lost their life, as we remember this weekend, for saving him, who weren't Christians, who were of other religions, who were very sincere in the faith and did the ultimate thing of sacrificing their life. And for him to get around his head that somebody would do that act for him and yet not be in heaven is just really hard. And you can understand that. But when he was single and living in the Keys, he frequented the bars a lot. He was a little bit of a partier, I would say. And often he was in the bars, he would run into people and they all start talking and people just start unloading his problems. But he'd tell me, he said, look, Jay, when people start unloading their problems, I would say something like, man, it just sounds like you need Jesus. And he goes, I know the scriptures. I mean, he's read the Bible several times. And so he goes, I would share scriptures with them. I would tell them what book to read, what they should meditate on. And then I would say, if you really have questions, he'd slide them my card. And then I would get phone calls from people in the Keys or all over the place that said, hey, I met Conrad. Can you fill me? He said you answer some questions. Look, it doesn't depend on you. So this is why we cling to the faith, especially in the difficult times and the times of suffering. Because in our times of suffering, I see that God will open more doors than in our time of prosperity. And if a person comes to you and they start to try to focus on your life, that's just deflecting. Maybe a passive-aggressive rejecting. And you just got to put them back to Jesus. Look, my life's not all together. You're right. Maybe I'm going through suffering. I'm going through hardships. You think I might have God's favor. I wouldn't be a void of all pain and suffering. No. That's not what Christianity's about. It's about grace, about Jesus. And he's there for you too. Or it's not about all that stuff. You know what? It's about, not outward, it's about something inside that you can't buy, you can't attain on your own. It's a gift. And suffering actually brings us closer to it. It actually refines it, makes it stronger, and that there's something greater to me that's in this world, that there's the eternal riches that you don't have. So, A resilient missionary clings to the faith, especially during suffering. B, resilient missionary fights to have the opportunity to share the gospel. Paul writes, 2 Corinthians, 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I was adrift at sea, on frequent journeys, in danger from the rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers, and toil and hardship through many of sleepless nights, and hunger and thirst, often without food, and cold, and exposure. You know, the bottom line, Apostle Paul had some terrible, horrible trips. He should have had a different travel agent, that's all. You know? But look how many times the word danger is used in this little part. It's 7 times. Seven represents this completion, like totalness. And so his life, is like probably total danger. And as a person loves boating, loves to be out in the water, and loves to be so far that all you see is water, I love that idea. But man, adrifting? No. Shipwreck? No. You know, that his list of dangers, what are they? They're really a list that I would say are roadblocks to the gospel. That Paul had a door. Like, Paul's just trying to get places to share the gospel. And this happens, and this stops it, and this stops it, and this stops it. Just barrier after barrier. And if you ever experience those barriers like that are exhausting, they're discouraging. And often, sometimes we face barriers and try and just even get an appointment and get a meeting with somebody to share the gospel. And we read into that barrier and say, well, I guess God doesn't want me to do it. He's shutting the door. I should just move on. Perhaps. But maybe, number one, Satan. You realize Satan will create roadblocks. You got to understand, when we start to become a missionary, we need to be a resilient missionary, because Satan only hits moving targets. Satan only goes after those that are on mission. If you want to sit back and just attend and just kind of take a casual approach to Christianity, Satan has already gotten you. He doesn't need to get on you. He's got you chilled out. But if you start to say, I'm going to be on fire for Jesus, I'm going to start sharing the gospel, watch out. There's going to be roadblocks. Satan's going to put things up. He will attempt to distract you like you've never been. He'll discourage you, to stop you before you even say a word. I mean, he'll get in your head, thinking you have to have like this perfect moment, the perfect presentation, and do it the perfect way, and all this. It's not true. I mean, there's lots of times I'm thinking, man, I nailed the gospel there, and there was nothing. And other times, like, I don't even know if I was clear. I didn't understand what I was saying. And yet they got it. See, sometimes you just need to step into it. You need to just have faith and say, look, this is a roadblock, but I'm just going to lean into it and see what God does. Good friend Joe. Joe grew up in his family in West Virginia, and his dad was incredibly mean and cruel. In fact, Joe left the house at 18, lived in a car, and raised himself from there, and became pretty successful in business and great family. But Joe was also a very faithful Christian, understood he needed to honor his dad and take care of him. There was nobody else. Joe worked his way out and really cared and shepherded his brothers and sisters through all their pain and providing stuff. And he took care of his dad. Actually moved his dad closer to him, but not too close. And he wanted his dad to be a granddad to his kids. But when he took his kids over, his dad was so mean and angry and just ugly. He said things, did things that, like, just, I can't have my kids there. And so he kept his kids back. They didn't have a grandfather because of that. But Joe stuck with them and cared for them. And his later years, he had a lot of medical issues that really caught up to him. And he was in a hospital, and again, it was getting kind of near the end, it looked like. And I said, Joe, let me go talk to him. He goes, you don't understand. He is so cruel. I don't want him to do that to my pastor. I'm not going to let him speak to you that way. He has cussed out chaplains that have come in. He's not going to do that to you. He worked in the auto industry. He was a union guy. I mean, he is. He gets dirty as you can get. And so I kept asking Joe here and there, and I just kind of like said, well, when you're ready, I'm ready. I don't care. And he wouldn't let me know what hospital he was at in the room, and I wasn't going to like go behind him. And then he was transferred to a nursing home because it was determined like he was just on his final days. And so I can talk to Joe again, and Joe said, all right. So I came. And Joe's prepping me in the hallway. Now, remember, my dad is just this angry, cruel guy. I said, I understand. He's probably going to cuss you out. This is a waste of your time. I said, I understand, but I'm here. And so we walked into the room. He was asleep, and he just opened his eyes. And he goes, oh, you're Joe's friend. Joe's like 6'3". He's at the end of bed. He's a big guy, and he's starting to cry. Joe's like, I've never told him about you. He doesn't even... I've never seen him. He's never seen you. And I said to him, I said, I am Joe's friend. I said, I got a question for you. Do you want to go to heaven? Do you want to go to heaven and be free of all this and be with Jesus? And he shook his head and he said, yeah, I want to go to heaven. I was like, do you know how we get to heaven? And he kind of did a little bit of a shake, and I said, we get to heaven by just believing what Jesus has done for us. That he came and took on his flesh and died for our sins. And he rose, and that even though we die, we rise and we go to heaven. He's paid the price of our sins. Do you realize that you're a sinner? You've been rebellious against God, and his wrath is against you? But he's provided this rescue for you through Jesus? And he said, yes. I said, do you want that? Yes. You believe? Yes. I said, well, welcome to paradise. Welcome to Jesus. I turn around, Joe's on the floor bawling. And he had the best 24 hours of his life with him, and he died. See, Satan can put up barriers, but God can remove them too. Sometimes a barrier comes up, and that barrier is there to strengthen you and prepare you. Sometimes I think that barrier comes up because God is doing something in them, and God's not ready for you to engage in that just yet. And so he is working on them, maybe working through somebody else, whatever. Then he's going to bring you two together. Other times, man, you just need to step in and watch barriers fall. And then there are times where there's just barriers that say, okay, God, it's just, I need to wait. You just need to be waiting and step back. This is why we talk about vibrant follower first, because this is what it means to be led by the Holy Spirit. It's not every person is the same. We need to be praying and letting the Holy Spirit lead and guide us in how to be a resilient missionary with the people in our lives. And so see, again, a resilient missionary also is unshakable by rejection. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and poisoned their minds against the brothers, so they remained for a long time speaking boldly for the Lord, who bore witness to the word of grace, granting signs and wonders be done in their hands. But the people of the city were divided. Some sided with the Jews and some with the apostles. When an attempt was made by both Gentiles and Jews with the rulers to mistreat them and stone them, they learned of it and fled away. And so what do you see? That here is, again, Paul on a missionary journey. He's facing great rejection, great resistance. He's got people against him. And so what do we need to understand is that, man, number one, you just need to expect that there's going to be resistance. You need to expect that there's going to be sometimes hostility environments. People are going to get angry. People are going to lie. People are going to make up arguments at you. Expect people to sometimes act out their worst. I mean, if they did that to Jesus when he was here in the flesh, why wouldn't they not do it to us when they hear the message of Jesus? And the reality is they're not really doing it to you. They're doing it to Jesus. And so the important part is, number two, is just don't change the message. Don't change the message to try to earn acceptance. When I was starting a church out, I had a guy said, I want you to meet my friend. We were with 20-somethings, and we met for a lunch. And as we met, the first 15, 20 minutes of the conversation was F-bombs and perversion and terrible jokes and all sorts of stuff. And I'm sitting there listening and just conversing, and then we got through racial stuff. Try to keep the conversation positive. Finally, the food comes, and I just pray out loud, and then we start to get into discussion about faith and get into real questions. And so, you know, lunch was over. I called later on. I said, hey, how'd it go? What's going on? What happened? And how you think? Because I was, like, thinking this guy was way off, and this was maybe a waste of time. He said, no, it wasn't. You understand. He thinks Christians are all judgmental. And so he came after you to see if you would change, to see if you would bow down on what you believe and make it soft, or you would just go off and judge him. He said, what you did is you just stayed the same. You held to your truth. You held to loving and accepting him, but you didn't change things. And he goes, that spoke volumes, and now he's really struggling. So just don't change. D, a resilient missionary endures persecution. Paul says, 5 times I received the hands of the Jews, the 40 lashes, less one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Yeah, I think he was beaten pretty much. You know, 39 times, 40 is usually what kills you. Jesus had 40, so one away from death, so pretty much. And I'm going to go a limb that after all that abuse, that left a mark. I mean, I don't think Paul was very attractive. I think after being beat that much in stone. And, you know, and when you get hurt like that, it leaves a mark. And injuries still hurt afterwards. They're painful then, and they're painful after. You know that. You feel that. But this is where the power in us is made stronger. When we're weak, God makes us stronger. And part of that is that, like, ministry is serving. Ministry takes on enduring suffering, enduring hardships. And why? I mean, again, in the greatest impact of Jesus came in suffering, came in hardships, came in his rejections. So why would it not be with us? In fact, one, again, your suffering for the gospel is your greatest witness. I mean, if witnessing the gospel was easy and could be done perfectly every time and you'd have success every time, then everybody would do it. It's not. It takes on a suffering, a hardship. I mean, there was a church in Seattle that was worshiping outdoors and they were attacked by a mob of like 100 people, 50 to 100 people came and attacked them and actually physically started to attack them. And the church stood there and they worshiped and they fought back. They didn't let the mob take them out and quiet them out. Now, I'm not saying violence with violence, but they didn't stop. The police came and arrested them. They were in the middle of persecution, even in their worship of their faith, and they didn't stop and just shut down. To me, that is spiritual grit. That's living in our convictions. Now, you and I probably won't face a lot of physical persecution, but we face mental and emotional persecution by people. People who maybe put pressure on us. People who will probably write us off or reject us for our beliefs and our choices. And notice, who's the group that did it most with the Apostle Paul? Who's the group that rejected Jesus the most? Which is kind of interesting. It was the church. It was actually the church. The religious. As the pre-Christians were more open to the gospel than the Christians were. The believers to be. And so at some level, when you start to face resistance, that usually says you're probably on the right path a lot of times. In fact, I kind of get to the point, there's not some resistance, I'm not sure I'm really doing what I'm supposed to be doing sometimes. And your suffering is not always in like this persecution. Sometimes it's a suffering of just serving. It's a suffering of your time, your money, and your talents for the mission. And it speaks volumes. Your daily actions, your pursuits, your meaning. That means like, what is on your calendar? What does your checkbook say about what you really is important in your life? It reveals your priorities. It tells the world what you believe in and what you're devoted to. Friends and family and people and neighbors, they see how you use your resources. They see in your life and they say, this is what it looks like to be a Christian. This is what it is. You're giving a witness. I had a pastor friend of mine. He had a lawyer in his congregation. They added another campus and they added a school. And it was a lot of it because of this lawyer. And what this lawyer did is he decided that, you know what, I don't need to make X amount of money. And the rest that I make, I'm just going to pour into the church. And he had not immediate family, but other family members and friends and colleagues who said, you are crazy, you're nuts, you're stupid, you're pouring into the worst thing. And so he would meet with the pastor quarterly for lunch just to sit there and say, what's going on, and help him in his mind mentally, because he was battling all these arguments that people have been saying. It stuck in his mind. So he had this mental conversation going on, and he needed to hear from the pastor personally, like some positive things and things about God, and like, this is not foolish. This is eternal stuff. But it's so contrary to the way of the American culture, even American Christianity, that says how we are to live, that big narrative that usually guides our life more than the narrative of Scripture. And he made a huge difference. He suffered. And his suffering and giving it up was a great witness of the gospel. A resilient missionary, E, continues despite setbacks. Paul, again, says, I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. Well, what happened? Everybody thought was a big setback. It's become known throughout the whole Imperial Guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. And most of my brothers, having been confident in the Lord, my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. So there's Paul sitting there going, man, you thought my being in prison was a bad thing. It's going to stop the gospel. In fact, the gospel is moving into prison now. I'm behind enemy lines, and the gospel's going like crazy, even in prison. And the fact that I was in prison, what did it do? It kept me from being on the front and being a leader. But praise God that other people have stepped up. Other people have become more bold. And so, in fact, him being in prison, him being held back, had given legs to the gospel through other people to raise up their leadership. And it blesses us. Because Paul writes in prison. Paul is a high doer, and I think when he's out there on the mission field, he's not going to take time to write. But put him in prison, he's got time to write. And he writes these letters, and he has these people visit, write letters and to the churches. And those letters were important for the church today as it is for us now. So when you have times where, man, something intervenes, something stops you, holds you back, it's not always a setback. It's God realigning you, God repositioning you, and God may be saying, hey, there's other ways. And so number one, what you got to do is just trust God's timing and his ways. It's not about our plan, our gen anyway. It's his. I mean, one of the most amazing things is I had a short time with a guy that I got a chance to disciple. And I mean pretty short. And he had a very messed up Christian background in another country where it's so liberal, woke, I mean, meshing every science and everything else in the scripture to the point where, you know, he doesn't even see that there's really a God. There's just a religion. And so I was able to pull that apart and just share it with them and walk them through the science, all this different stuff. And these light bulbs went on like crazy. Because I just, now it may, oh my, and he was just overwhelmed. And so anyway, we had an opportunity to baptize him and disciple him a little bit more. And then his job, and he moved to Pensacola. And he got to Pensacola. And one of the things I had him was like, just read scripture, read a chapter a day, read a chapter a day, ask these questions. And we would meet. And he just started to do is just read on Facebook. He just started reading, and he started reading with a little bit of a prayer. And he has like, I don't know, 58,000 followers or something like that. He was at a national event that he took pictures that gave him all these followers. But he's not a very popular guy, but he has these followers. And he just starts reading, and now people are tuning in of him just reading. I mean, it's amazing. I mean, God is reaching a whole different people, and he's just reading. With a short little prayer, it doesn't have to be complicated, and God has reshaped it, remolded it, and moved it, and it's doing amazing things. A resilient missionary never loses focus on their calling. Never lose focus on a calling. Paul says, I press on towards the goal of the prize, of the outward call of God in Christ Jesus. Being a resilient missionary is not about, hey, this is a project, this is a mission, this is something I do here and there. It's a lifestyle. It's the focus of life. A whole life committed and devoted. Yeah, Paul had a business. He did. And he had a business that probably could have been a thriving business at times. But what did he do? He used that business as to funnel into the kingdom. He used, like you have a job, you have a vocation, that is your calling. And that is part of your kingdom work. And to use that for the kingdom, wherever it takes you and the resources it gives you, that's what Paul did. That was his calling. And if you want to learn more about that, we have a thing called Missionary Huddle that can train you on that. It's online, so you don't even have to be here. Just put in a connection card, we'll put you in next time it comes up, and you can join that training. Here's what also Paul says. It's our memory verse. Let's read together. He says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. This is Paul's final words to Timothy, who he discipled. His long life focus, faith in God that moved him in a mission to plant churches and raise up leaders within their context. Timothy was one of those he raised up and actually became one of the larger churches, more influential churches. It raises the question, what is your lifelong focus? Is it reaching some kind of goal of retirement, some lifestyle? What is it that you're consistently pursuing that will be your legacy? It's our everyday decisions that amount to something greater that people will remember, that has a chance to touch future generations. Paul's legacy is there in the church and is still going on. He's written the most letters, planted the most churches. And I can say for me, that's what's in my heart. At Hope, we have a burden that, man, God, let's just raise up leaders. Let's raise up pastors and let's plant more churches, plant more campuses. And we're in the process of doing that right now. We're in the process of planting another campus there at Inlet Beach. And we have worship there once a month, and we're building that. And we're also trying to raise up people in our network. We have over 30 guys that have been identified, and we have some in our congregation to go get distant learning at a seminary, but it's like $13,000 a year to that. It's going to take resources. It's going to take resources to get this church and get it staffed and also support it, the other campus, so it can get more legs. And then we're also looking at moving our main campus into a permanent property because we're in a second-story building at 98, and move it to a property where we can have a place, a gathering place for families to have recreation and gathering and fellowship, and but also a place of worship, a child care, a place that, man, that can provide training, that we can be a training place to do training for the churches locally and abroad and afar as we go and make more and more sent disciples and equip them in a training center. That's our pursuit. What's yours? What is the pursuits in your life that would say, man, that's a resilient missionary, and that people are going to remember in your future? Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, that, man, you sent your son Jesus Christ for us. I mean, talk about resilience. It's really all in Jesus. I mean, Paul is just looking at Jesus, and the life of Jesus is in Paul. What helps us endure, Jesus endured even more for us, and it's hard to imagine. Looks like maybe it's hard to imagine unless you really know someone who's endured a lot in military and made that ultimate sacrifice. But when you lean into it, it's a lot. When you got family members in the military and you realize what they endure for that mission. And that just, to me, encourages me more for the mission that you've given to the church. That's such a higher calling for a battle for the kingdom, over light, over darkness, of where eternity is for people, for the kingdom in people's hearts. And God, that's a fight worth fighting for. And so, Lord, I pray by your Spirit that you would raise us up in our context where we live, work, and play, and learn, and the people that you put in our lives. I mean, we don't even have to go overseas. It's right here. God, prompt us, open us to your Spirit to feel your leading, guiding, and touching, and prompting that we too can be part of it. And then we face these situations, may we be better equipped to handle them so we continue on. Don't get discouraged and don't quit, but we continue to pursue. And so we pray, Lord, for your Spirit to empower us. And Lord, we pray for our country. We pray for all those men and women who gave their sacrifice for us. We thank you. We praise you for this opportunity. We have freedom here to gather in this public space and for the favor to be able to worship here and to give honor and praise to you. This is a gift, and it's a gift of your doing through the people, what you've done in this nation. And it's a precious gift. You can't do this everywhere in the world. And so, God, we want to honor and use that. And, Lord, we pray that we can come together and we can be in greater and further your kingdom together as your church. Lord, I also know there's many people with different things they're carrying on in their life, hurtings and pains and struggles. And Father, you invite us to cast them on them and cry out to you. And so we do that together in the prayer you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
It takes a lot to be a resilient missionary. Paul demonstrated that. It takes a lot of courage, a lot of energy. It takes a lot of determination. And it takes a lot of support. Paul had a group of brothers who would pray for him and churches that would send supplies. Because, yes, to be resilient requires resources. And so a part of our worship today involves an offering, a collection of resources, so that we might continue to be resilient in our work here at Hope and elsewhere. So we give you an opportunity to join us. You have an offering envelope in your bulletin. You can place it there. The envelope itself gives you other instructions. If you want to give online or on your phone, you can do that as well. So we welcome you to join us in our mission. Also, I'd like to call your attention to the connection card and the backside this time. The backside is a way you can connect with the staff. We'd like to hear what God's doing in your life. And you can see there commitments you've made today. You can see places where you might want to serve or connect with us in an upcoming event or prayer request. They're all there on the back of your connect card. So if you would take a minute to just share with us how God is blessing you today, how he's calling you, and then we call your attention back to your bulletin where there are some announcements listed for you. The back page has a calendar of events coming up. You can see all the things that are happening at Hope, and we certainly invite you to join us. We have a prayer tent coming up on next Sunday, June the 1st, at Inlet Beach. If you would like to join us there, 8 o'clock, we would love to have you come and be a part of our work at Inlet Beach. Join us in the prayer tent next Sunday. It's so good to see you here this morning, and we want to just give you an opportunity to close our worship with us. So we invite you to stand. Our ushers will pass among you as Roberto leads us in worship.
Who I am, 'cause I know who you are. The cross of salvation was only the start.
You to take a time of reflection as we honor those who gave up their life together.
Now receive this blessing as you go today. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. May he look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. See you. God bless you.
Are we going home after this?